Welcome to Tax Conversations Africa, a five-part series on the use of research evidence in influencing government policies towards fair tax systems in Africa.
In our previous episode, we looked at the informal sector and its considerable potential contribution to the Nigerian tax-based revenue. Tax is the price we pay for living in a civilized society. However, the question on what tax system guarantees a fair tax is highly contested. What is the role of civil society research evidence in influencing government policies toward fair tax systems in Africa? And how can policymakers use country-specific data to build fair tax systems on the continent? Welcome to Tax Conversations Africa, the podcast, offering alternative thought to African tax systems. Tax Conversations Africa is powered by the Tax Justice Network Africa in partnership with the Institute for Economic Justice and the generous support from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation. My name is Beza McConnon, and I'm your host for this episode. The number of tobacco-related deaths in Zambia increased from an estimated 3,000 per year in 1990 to 7,142 per year in 2020, according to data from the University of Bath. Zambia is among the top five tobacco leaf-growing countries in Africa. While taxation in general is typically focused on revenue mobilization in Zambia, the taxation of goods like tobacco is often instituted to also affect some kind of behavioral change, as the harmful health impacts of smoking place an undue burden on the health system. Today, we focus on Zambia, looking at the concept of double taxation. I am joined by Rogers Kadia, Research and Advocacy Officer at Tax Justice Network Africa, and Isaac Mwepopo, the Executive Director at the Center for Trade Policy and Development. Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Isaac, the Center for Trade Policy and Development works to promote equitable pro-poor trade policies and practices in Zambia through trade reform at national, regional, and international levels. Could you share a little bit about how this works?
Right, that's our key mandate. There are two underlying motivations to the work of the Center for Trade Policy and Development, that is trade policy and tax policy. In terms of how we do this, we basically conduct empirical evidence that is used in our advocacy work. Over the recent past, we have worked with like-minded civil society organizations to identify policy issues that need policy action. And it is from this background that we worked with the Tax Justice Network Africa to conduct studies focusing on tobacco control. And we have been working with institutions such as the Ministry of Health, as well as the World Health Organizations to champion an agenda aimed at fostering changes with regards to the consumption of tobacco.
Thank you. Rogers, the idea of a hefty tax on tobacco is a perfect paradox. What do you make of it?
Interesting, Beza. That will be absolutely correct, but only with a singular focus on the commercial interest perspective. The conversation, however, is literally turned on its head if the public health outcomes and related cost perspective is brought on the table. We all know, for instance, that tobacco is the only product with an international convention developed and signed by over 180 countries globally to control its production, consumption, and also regulate its industry. This is for a good reason. Like Isaac has told us, the numbers globally are even greater. Apart from killing 8 million people annually, various global economics of tobacco researches, including those done by TJNA partners in Africa, have indicated consistently that for every dollar received from the tobacco industry in terms of tax revenue, another $3 is used by the same governments to mitigate and address the health burden related to consumption of these tobacco products. So if I were to directly answer your question, and if I was a philosopher, I would say that that statement suffers from the fallacy of hefty generalization.
Staying with tobacco and drawing from the Zambian experience, Isaac, can I get your thoughts? What were the direct outputs of URE intervention in this issue?
So the development of a policy brief in 2018 that assessed the tobacco control bill, this policy brief outlined the key role of tobacco in the Zambian economy with a particular focus on the fiscus side. It ended with a number of recommendations regarding the regulation of tobacco in relation to the proposed tobacco control bill. This is a bill that is being spearheaded by the Ministry of Health, working in close consultation with civil society organizations. Lastly, it's a policy brief that was developed on proposals for tobacco taxation in Zambia. This policy brief gave an overview of tobacco production in Zambia, the legal framework governing tobacco industry, the impact and levels of tobacco taxation in Zambia. And some of the proposals that were contained in this policy brief later led to increased sensitization, which ultimately ended up influencing government's policy decision and resource changes in the 2022 national budget, where government decided to increase taxes on tobacco.
And this underscores the need for URE in decision making. But Rogers, if you could just paint a picture for us, how does the Zambian tax environment look like?
The Zambian tobacco tax, specifically the if I can talk about the tobacco area first, the tax area has two systems that are employed. One is the specific taxation, which has a flat rate on specific types of cigarettes and other products. And also it has an aspect of ad valorem system of tax, which is a system of tax that usually focuses mainly on the value-based system of taxation. Apart from that, when it comes to the general focus on the Zambian tax environment, we see a lot of focus on domestic resource mobilization, this new era, and also a lot of focus on taxing more on taxing more on consumable goods and consumable taxes, which form the bigger chunk of tax revenues in Zambia.
This is Tax Conversations Africa, and today we focus on Zambia and helping me unpack the topic on taxing the country's tobacco industry is Rogers Kadia and Isaac Moipopo. Zambia, like most African countries, is riddled in debts. How does this inform taxation policies?
That's a great question. If you look at the debates regarding taxation, they also take place within the context of a growing debate of the growing debt burden in Zambia, exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic. Zambia has missed two Eurobond coupon payments during the COVID-19 crisis, one in November 2020 and another in January 2021. While a full discussion of questions regarding debt sustainability, unequal debt burdens, and debt relief is beyond the scope of this paper, it is worth noting that questions of domestic resource mobilization become even of greater importance within this context. And more recently, we've seen the government engaging stakeholders like the International Monetary Fund and requesting for an extended credit facility with hope that they can then ride on that to engage creditors and bring sustainability to our debt.
Interestingly, a recent study by the Overseas Development Institute, that is ODI, which assesses civil society engagement in tax reform, they note that while NGOs do make submissions to the budget process, the process is increasingly used to lobby for tax concessions and exemptions by NGOs, businesses, and professional associations. So it's the case of more like to be seen but not to be heard.
Guys, how would you access the responsiveness of Zambian policymakers to URE?
Good question, Beza. Preliminary study shows that the responsiveness of policymakers so far has been dependent on their stations and positions in government. For example, those in health department were more willing to make up tobacco legislations, for instance, proposals, than those in finance. This will have direct bearings on the extent to which the research evidence exists.
Another great example is right here in Zambia. The Department of International Development, that is DFID, of the United Kingdom, was instrumental in assisting in the operationalization of the Zambia Revenue Authority by, among other things, sourcing through international competitive advertisements experts to run the organization, and has improved the efficiency of the authority.
Thank you. Thank you both for your insights.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to Tax Conversations Africa, the podcast, powered by the Tax Justice Network Africa in partnership with the Institute for Economic Justice and the generous support from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation. For more information and episodes, please visit our website on www.taxjusticeafrica.net. For questions, comments, or opinions, email us on info@taxjusticeafrica.net. Thank you.